legacy. Yeah. Wednesday night, tuned in to this legacy. Yeah. Mark and Will locked in on this legacy. Yeah. Mel and PIP's in on this legacy. Yeah. Let's go. What you know about this legacy? Yeah. Wednesday night, tuned in to this legacy. Yeah. Mark and Will locked in on this legacy. Yeah. Get your popcorn, I know you need this medicine. Yeah. Let's go.
What's going on, people? Welcome back to another great episode of Legacy, the first episode of Legacy of this year. Of course, this show is literally about male and PIP talk, but today we got a special guest. Where is he? Where he from, brother?
Man, where he from, brother? I see something on his chest. I think it's a bulldog in the house again. which is always good. And you know, we PIP too, so you know, the brothers. But hey, tonight we got a special guest, man. We got Coach Palmer, male high school assistant coach and former standout player for the male Bulldogs. How you doing, Coach?
Doing well, man. Appreciate y'all for having me. Glad to be on.
Hey, no problem, man. You know, I know we done talked a little bit and try to get things worked out, but glad you was able to come and join us big time. So we want to go ahead and, you know, hit the ground running. Real quick, what position do you coach at Mel?
Coach the inside linebackers on varsity, and I take care of all the inside linebackers on all levels, and then on JV, you get the chance to call the defense on Monday nights.
Okay, you got some studs on Friday, man. You big time, yeah. KJ and him, man, it's and I want to say this real quick. You know, we do a thing. We do the Players of the Week, Mark and Will show.
Yep.
Success. You know, we done had a couple of Bulldogs that won this past week. But I will say this. I'm not doing this on purpose as far as the lack of Bulldogs. We have to have people nominate, and we also got to have, you know, the stats. If the stats ain't in a certain time, you know, I ain't trying to stay up all night doing things like that either. So, yeah. You got some standout linebackers, and being that you've been at Mel coaching how long, Coach?
This is my second year. Yep, last year was my first year. Went to state. Prior to that, I was, and I'm sure we'll talk about that, I was at Butler, but this is only my second year at Mel.
Okay, so give us a glimpse on, like, basically how do you like your linebackers to play, feel that position, and how do you feel from this year and last year, how they are performing?
So when I was at Butler, I was coaching. I had coached running backs for a particular time, and that helped me coach linebackers. And so I think that the biggest key to linebacker success is quick feet and tight spaces. So it's all about reads. Of course, you know, you start reading the guard. Then from that point, you got to be able to play football. So I need linebackers that, one, can read and have some football IQ. Two, has some toughness, because of the second, maybe this might even be number one, but another big thing to a linebacker success is the ability to shed blocks. Because sometimes you're going to get them big boys on you, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I'm big on that, on stopping a run, being able to read the guards, have quick feet in tight spaces, block shedding, being a violent tackler. If you're not violent, being a sure tackler. When it comes to coverage and like Coach 707, which helped me a lot this year, I always want my linebackers to be able to move like safeties. You know what I'm saying? So being able to open them hips, being able to get in pass drops, because you got to be able to do both, especially in our defense. There's a lot of linebackers like around the state or somewhere that are like bigger and slower. They wouldn't survive in our defense because we count on our linebackers to get in coverage quite often. So it's always quick feet in tight spaces, block shed, and the ability to move like a safety.
So, I mean, yeah, look like my Dallas Cowboys. So let me throw that in there. But anyway, let me ask you this though, Coach. How hard? I mean, is it hard to find that for your system? And are, you know, some of these kiddos maybe not used to doing that? Like, how is the development? Like, when you have a player that you see raw talent that you like, hey man, I know he can do it. What kind of steps did you do to develop him to get to the level that you want him?
Let's start early in the spring. So for example, I use my two linebackers we got this year. Solomon Conley, he kind of fell into our lap, really. He was automatically – he's a prototypical linebacker we want for our defense. He's fast. He's not big, you know what I'm saying, but he's strong. And so his biggest part of for his development is going to be, you know what I'm saying, being able to get stronger so he could take on those blocks and he can cover. Like, so we went down to Hoover to play 7-on-7, and he fit in perfectly. KJ, who's currently the weak side linebacker, He was in the secondary 2 years ago, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or even last year, like, he was playing in the secondary. You know, the secondary's loaded. Secondary's loaded this year.
Right.
Man, you fast and you got dog in you, you know what I'm saying? You ain't scared of contact. You might be better at linebacker, you know what I'm saying? Or at least be, that's why I think you'd be better at, and he proved that. So I first look at people that can run, you know what I'm saying? Because like I said, our linebacker's going to be in coverage a lot. Our linebacker's going to have to be in, we call it a hip alignment, where he's lined up a little bit outside the box. You know what I'm saying? Linebacker may have to get to the flats. Linebacker may have to run with the seam of the number three receiver. You know what I'm saying? So I look for more so being able to run than someone who's big, stocky, and can play inside. Because if you can run, I can teach you how to read. I can teach you how to shed blocks. And you can do the tackle on your own. But if you're big and stocky and you can't move too well, I can't create that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easier to create a run stopper than it is to create a coverage linebacker.
Right, right. You know what? And that's really, you know, college does that. Mm-hmm. The pros, you know what I'm saying? You know, you get them big safeties and bring them down and, you know, and make them like linebacker, right, and stuff like that. Yeah. So I love that. Big time, and I'm glad that you're able to actually identify and say, okay, mm-hmm, you know, like you said, load a secondary. Mm-hmm. Hey, you can make a difference.
Right. And
go ahead.
I was about to say my favorite linebacker currently, and I think he's the best linebacker in the NFL, Fred Warner.
Woo!
He played nickel in college. He didn't play linebacker. They moved him to the linebacker when he got to the 49ers, and look how well he's able to run sideline to sideline and still be aggressive enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a cheat code. A cheat code, big time. He's a cheat code. So, being that it's your second year, and you're being coached, and we're gonna hit all that shortly. But I want to go ahead and cover Mel real quick. What did you learn from coming back to Mayo, let's put it that way, mm-hmm, from last year's team to this year's team that you took from last year's team and like, okay, this is how we're going to need to do things and, you know, and all this? Because we know talent is different, but it's always talent, mm-hmm, in Mayo.
Yeah, I think from last year carrying over into this year, installing takes more preparation, you know what I'm saying, than what people think. And so the offseason, everybody's like, you know, players got to get better, players got to get faster, players got to lift. But the offseason also is for coaches. You know what I'm saying? How can you teach better? You know what I'm saying? How can you develop a new scheme? You know what I'm saying? So the coaches need to use the offseason just as much as the players do. And so between those 2 years, I realized that, especially I had, like last year I had TK. Ooh. TK is, you know what I'm saying? TK is probably the smartest football player I've ever coached. You know what I'm saying? He's literally an extra coach on the field. And so with TK, and then had Eli, of course. Eli had been in the system for a while, so he just knew everything. You know what I'm saying? And then coming this year, Conley, he actually started the game his freshman year against Bullitt East last year. But Conley and then KJ, who just now started playing linebacker this year, I had to really lock in and hone in on installing with them. So I had to teach them step by step. Even to the point, it was the first, you know, two or three games, we could send a call out to the field, And KJ's looking over to Conley asking him what I got to do. And so I was like, all right, so it's just going to take time for him to remember what he's got. Even every now and then, he'll still, do it. And Conley, he'll still be asking every now and then, especially there's so much difference in our Mike linebacker and our Will linebacker and what they do, especially when you're doing, split field coverages sometimes. Like, it's a lot to teach. That's why in our system, the kid can't just come and say, hey, I want to switch a linebacker. Like, nah, brother, you got a lot to, And so it's just installing really is like breaking that down step by step and how to carry that over, basically what switched from last year. Because last year when I was first on the scene, when I was learning the defense, I had to ask TK sometimes, Yeah. And so this year, I got basic good knowledge. So now I have to be that guy if they have a question, everything like that. So it's all about installing and getting them prepared to play as far as IQ wise.
So what year is Conley and KJ?
Conley is a sophomore.
Oh my gosh.
Sophomore. He had 14 tackles against Ron Colley, only played three quarters. KJ is a junior and he had 19 tackles. So you still got another year to deal with both of them, and then 2 years to deal with Conley. You know what I'm saying?
Look, Coach, I had to basically apologize to KJ through social media that he's not in the polls because I don't have his stats. Because I go to the games, I know what the cat's doing. I just don't have the stats to put him on there. You know what I'm saying? I say, man, this hit us up.
Actually, I guess they posted like the top 6A or top tackles in state within the past week. He was before last game, he was number 20, sitting at 70 tackles. And that's with the bye week and playing a half of a game. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So,
you can only teach that so much.
Coach, that's scary because, like I said, that first of all, that junior class, I thought the junior class at Mel is a nice class, a real class. And that y'all follow up with this sophomore class that's monsters. I mean, you had two sophomores that basically won two of our awards. So let me ask you this. So how's the backups? How are some of the backups for these two linebackers?
They solid, you know what I'm saying? I would say they're backups right now because they're not as good as the number one, linebackers. But I trust them. There's been 2 weeks. Conley's been out 2 weeks.
Okay.
He was out the Butler week. I started Kevin Rogers. Then he was out last week. I started Kevin Rogers. But there's also we got Braden Blackburn, who's good as well. He's lengthy. He can run. Sometimes I pull from the secondary. So we got Corey Mattingly. He's smaller, but he is a heck of a linebacker. He's gonna hit. He last year in the Bullet East game when TK was out, Conley started and it was Bullet East, so they do the spread.
Right.
But Corey was like my dime backer. So like on third downs, the second and longs, he went to the wheel linebacker, And he gets in inside run. He's just he's smaller, so I'm not gonna get them paws on him. He can only do so much. But I pull him and I use him quite often.
I think the first time I saw him play Manly, I think it was last year in Alabama, the 7-on-7. And then when I saw him actually in the games, he stood out to me because he don't mind getting his nose dirty. He's a tackler, you know what I'm saying? Yep. I actually seen his dad, but actually met him the Butler game and didn't know that he was a Bulldog too.
Mm-hmm.
Bulldog party, baby. Party, this time.
Yep, it is. Last year, he was the best tackler on our team. This year, he could arguably be the best tackler. You know what I'm saying? We got Sheffield back. Conley solid. KJ solid,
And that's the thing about it is, the growth and keep moving and constantly have enough players to go. So, let me ask you this, because Brandon and I, we was last Monday or so? Mm-hmm. You know how you always have opportunities the second string of JV and everything else. They play JV games, and And I'm thinking maybe when you played, because I know when I played, there was no running clock. Mm-hmm. And you know yourself, you hear the rumblings, you hear people, I don't want my son to play, or, you know, whatever. And then when you have the scores out of control, but the running clock actually prohibits a lot of in-game growth. And I know you guys know it, you know what I'm saying, like that. What is it? And I know it's hard because I've talked to other coaches. We talk to other coaches, and we know that there's this arbitrary point system type thing for home field advantage, right? Mm-hmm. How do you keep the mood on the sidelines for the guys who know that, hey, man, I was going to play, but the clock ran out, you know? Because everybody wants that Friday night.
And I'm a quote one of our coaches, Coach Porter. I mean, like, we try our best, you know what I'm saying, to get everybody in, but you have to remember that playing at Mel, it's not charity, you know what I'm saying? So, like, we try, you know what I'm saying? And if we don't, we don't. That's why you use those Mondays and those Thursdays for those guys to get that work, and those, even those times during the week in practice, like the way we practice, they got opportunity to get better. You know what I'm saying? We do a 2-platoon system, so they got opportunity to get better. We even in those running clock games, there's sometimes we're still trying to work on things with those first group of guys. I mean, I think it's just the nature of the beast, and especially when you come into a school like Mel, you know, it's just what happens. And I think people got to realize that, like, the coaches are trying, but we know that there's an assignment to do, you know what I'm saying? But we still try to be smart. A lot of times it's also a safety thing where we're trying to keep players healthy, so we get them out. But sometimes we just, like, even for last example, we had a running clock, but I had to leave one of my starters out there, which was Kevin Rogers, for him to get as many reps because Conley may be out or something like that. You know, like, I have to have backups prepared, and so he may have to be in a little longer. But it's one of the things where, like, if we're going to try to get you in, if not, it's because you haven't showed yet that you put out there.
Nah, I tell you, I would say that's probably the hardest question you know what I'm saying? We don't try to do no gotcha. That wasn't no gotcha. But I just know that we brought it up among ourselves. And great answer. I mean, you know, as a former Bulldog, practice is normally harder than the game. You know, I ain't have to admit that. You know what I'm saying? So as I have relatives that come through the system and friends and things like that, my whole thing also is that I'm going to be a dog in practice. You're going to have to play. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I am. You know, nothing's guaranteed, period. So, and the demon, you got the run o'clock. That should even make your antennas go up even more. Like, I really got to show that I need to be out here on Friday. So, thank you for answering that question. Because, like I said, you know, you're always here to catch calls and different things, not knowing that, hey.
Absolutely.
15 years, you had to worry about that. Everybody playing. Other than like that, it's different now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, people complain about that, so you got what you want, and then people ain't gonna never be happy, and that's how it goes. But I want to thank you for definitely answering that. So let's go on and get to know Coach Palmer a little bit better.
So how old was you when you first started playing sports?
That's probably about 7. Yeah, so I started football. Then, you know, you had the church basketball leagues. I usually, for the most part, when I was younger, it was all just basketball and football. I wasn't one of those. You know, dabbling in soccer. I played baseball for about 3 years. I was actually turned out to be real good in baseball. And I was like, okay, I'm good in baseball. Then I got the mail and I was like, oh, these dudes play baseball. I'm just in a little Rockford Lane league and these cats just travel ball. I'm like, all right, maybe I have my little baseball fun. These cats is out. You get the mail and it's people that just play baseball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I was like, okay, yeah, let me. That's not it for me. But I dabbled in baseball through middle school. For the most part, I'm just basketball and football for the main part.
Ah, that's good stuff. What were some of the leagues that you played in? Like, you know, the different sports? What were the leagues?
Let's see. I spent most of my time in the Optimist League, with Air Force Raiders. That's where I met John Gaddis, you know what I'm saying? We've been best friends probably since we were 7 or 8 years old. But Optimus League up in the Raiders. I played basketball. I wasn't no like hooper. You know what I'm saying? Right. I just played. But I give somebody buckets right now if they wanted to. But mainly for basketball, I was just church leagues, and then baseball I was a Rockford Lane League over there, off of Cane Run, that school over there by the car wash.
Okay, yeah.
So that was it for the most part, just those leagues right there.
What position did you play when football starting out?
I played corner, receiver. I spent some time at quarterback. I had trouble getting the snap all the time. I when I got the snap, I was all right, but for some reason, I fumbled the snap all the time. I guess I was nervous. But mostly, yeah, I spent a lot of time at corner, receiver, and stuff like all the skill positions.
Okay.
And actually, I didn't think like the last two years maybe before going to high school, I didn't play football. I wasn't, and people may not know, but I wasn't really good at football until late in my high school years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I liked football, I liked watching it, but I wasn't like a standout guy. So at that point, I just didn't care for it really. You know what I'm saying? I didn't develop a love back for the game to maybe like my junior year in high school. And so, like, when I see freshmen now, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Just keep working at it because I didn't touch the field until I was a junior, you know what I'm saying? Junior, of course, you had the freshman games and stuff, but I wouldn't get no varsity looks, you know what I'm saying? So, football was like an off and on relationship with me up until I got to high school, really.
You know what, Coach? That's a jewel because there are so many kids like that, you know. Maybe they played Little League, then when the time to get to the high school, they're like, man, this is a job for me. I don't want to do that. Or they, like you said, it's like, I'd rather like live my life and do something else, but then they come back.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, oh, man, this is what I miss.
Yep.
So I'm glad you did share that because it's quite a few youngsters. And thing about it is you got a lot of parents is like, go, go, go. But, you know, sometimes you got to listen to the kiddos and, you know, like, man, I don't feel it. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
So when was it that you started getting the love back for the game to say, I'm going to stick it through and I'm going to play it?
It was in high school. It might have been like, I don't know if it was a senior after my freshman year, after my sophomore year. My big brother, he was in college. He played for Kentucky Wesleyan. And his close friend, he played a Louisville, and we were training in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, I just train. I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm going to work out. And then I guess it was junior year, during practice, I actually started getting some, you know what I'm saying, some looks. Like, coach was like, oh, you must be all right. And so I started playing, and I was like, okay, maybe I'm decent in football. So really wasn't until I was like, okay, I might be good is when I start, you know what I'm saying? Because it's hard to love it, you know what I'm saying, when you're not that guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could love it, but it's harder to, you know what I'm saying, when you're not getting all the love. And so after I like did those workouts, I got better, I got stronger, I got more confidence. You know what I'm saying? I think the confidence and the love of the game go hand in hand. If you don't have any confidence, you're not gonna love it. You know what I'm saying? So once I got confidence, it's like, you know, I could be a decent player. So junior year, I started liking it. Then senior year, when I, you know what I'm saying, I actually stepped into my own, and I was playing well, you know what I'm saying? That's when I was like, man, I really like, you know what I'm saying, love the game of football, you know what I'm saying? And so I guess late, like the junior year, the prior to going into my junior year, I was like, okay, maybe football's fun, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. That's good because, like I said, a lot of kids is probably walking through that same pathway and, you know, you talk to them like, hey, what's going on? And they just got that look at you like, dude, you know, that house looked like, I really don't
want to
be doing this, you know, but.
Sometimes I get caught in that crossroad of being, because you get some kids out there, you're like, man, if you don't want to be out here, you're wasting your time, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying, like, you're wasting your time, you're wasting our time, you're just standing out here, it's hot, you got to run. If you don't want to be out here, don't be out here. But if I would have left, I wouldn't have never developed that, you know what I'm saying? So people just got to stick through it. And maybe when they come into their own, then they start to love the game more.
Right. Did you what middle school did you go to?
I went to Johnson Middle School.
Did you play football? Did they have the football team at Johnson?
They didn't have middle school teams then. Nope. That's when Little League was still around and everybody was divided. Yep. I think they started it maybe like 2 years after I left Johnson. Or I don't think they started middle school really until after I got out of high school, maybe. Maybe a little bit in between then.
That's, you know what, though? That's funny to me because when I was in middle school, that's when they first started playing middle school ball. And I went to JCTMS. And so when I'm talking to people and I'm like, hey, did you, like you said, it's that period that they stopped it completely. And I bet you little leagues love that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they got their players back type stuff like that. So, okay, cool.
Yep.
Good to know. Big time. Let's see. So, as you get the mail, so Johnson, was there any other high school that you was thinking about going to? Was it Butler?
If you went to Johnson, it was really Butler, man. But my big brother went to Mayo. You know what I'm saying? We started with that love of Mayo itself, and it was kind of set in stone that I'm just going to go to Mayo regardless.
What year did your brother graduate?
He graduated 2007. So my big brother, me, and my little brother are all 4 years apart. So as he left Mayo, I came into Mayo. As I left Mayo, my little brother came into Mayo. It was the same way middle school. Elementary was the only time we was actually together.
Right. Okay, that's cool.
But teachers knew brothers, you know what I'm saying? Teachers knew all who was related and everything.
Right. Okay, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. So when you was a junior, you had Redman, right?
Yep.
That was his last year, was your junior year, right?
It was, yep.
So give a glimpse. So you played with you have played for two really male high school legend coaches, you know, Redman and Wolf, you know. And for the people who don't know, yeah, Wolf is a legend. The things he's done so far for male, winning state championships, going to four straight championship, get all that kind of stuff. Kids is graduating, kids is going to school. So you done played for two legends. And I don't want to compare, but how give everybody a glimpse of Coach Redman's team. Because he's – Coach Redman – let me tell you this real quick. Coach Redman came the year after I left.
Okay. Okay. Redman was – I would say loose a little bit, you know what I'm saying? We would have weight sessions, but nobody's, you know what I'm saying, really, like, it wasn't no structured weight room session, you know what I'm saying? It was loose. Practices were, I say practices may not have been as detailed, but they were still intense, just like Coach Wolf's are. Redman, he probably cracked a little more jokes than Wolf. You know? Redman didn't have no problem cracking jokes. But I mean, that's about it. They both, you know what I'm saying? I would say the more difference is, you know, just the football wise, you know what I'm saying? I feel like they both had the same principles. Like, you got to work hard Monday through Thursday, then you win the game Friday. You know what I'm saying? Practices were still scheduled. You know what I'm saying? They did, drills were different, but they did drills every single day. They both work on special teams every single day. Wolf does believe in the two platoon system, you know what I'm saying? So you got your first group and second group. Redman was more so the position coaches handled subbing in their guys, you know what I'm saying? Right. And Redman was real big on like scout team, you know what I'm saying? So some practice may have not been as competitive as others when here with Wolf, you know what I'm saying? We go good on good, you know what I'm saying? So you have no choice but to get better. Right. You know what I'm saying? Or you're gonna get exposed. Right. But yeah, I would say more so their personality, you know what I'm saying? Ram was a loose guy, you know, have fun. Yeah. You know, he's gonna crack a joke. One time, I forgot what it was. I think we were in a team session and we fumbled. Somebody fumbled and Redman picks up the fumble, you know, takes it back. You know, he's older, so he's running, pointing up to the sky and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So he's a little more loose. But as far as football principles, and you know what I'm saying, they're both winning coaches, you know what I'm saying? So when you get winning coaches, they have different personalities, different systems, but they all have the same principles, you know what I'm saying, in order to win games.
You know, and great point, because it's not always one blueprint to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That I've known Redman. you know what I'm saying, know his philosophy, all this kind of stuff like that. Some of my best friends and friends, former teammates, played for him, and I was able to come and visit after I graduated and get to learn Coach Redmond and that kind of stuff. And so on the back end, being that my nephews, you know, one graduated last year, one's on the team this year, so, and actually had Wolf on the show, so learning his principles. And you're absolutely right. It's many ways to be successful. You know? Mm-hmm. And these two guys that you actually play for, man, you know, going down in history as the, you know, two best coaches in history besides Coach Coon back in the day when my father played. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. So, you know, and that's a great honor to even do that. And just to churn them out that going forward to this year's staff, you know, what is it, six former players are on the staff?
Let's see, me. Porter played for Wolf. He didn't play at Mill, but he played for Wolf.
Right, right.
Me, Coach Porter. Corey played at Mill. Jalen Kemp, he played with me under Wolf. Mm-hmm. And then Devin Gentry played under Wolf.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like you said, Porter, I think when he played for him.
He played with him under Wagner.
Wagner. So, mm-hmm. Which, that's kind of weird anyway, because Redman came from Wagner. Like, it's all, everybody's connected big time. Yeah. One big loop and all this kind of stuff. So, hey, Wagner, we want to thank you guys for bringing us nothing but winners. I'm sorry that you guys couldn't be blessed like the Bulldogs did, but you guys brought us winners. Kelsey, go.
I'm about to say the biggest person is Kelsey. He beat.
No, that's right, Coach. Yeah, Kelsey. Keep it coming for us, brother. I love you, Wagner. Don't get mad at me big time like that. So, senior, you're rocking and rolling. Did you play college ball or anything like that, Coach?
I didn't. I had one serious school that wanted me. It was Wittenberg. Actually, like a top D3 school, really. Then I had like a couple some letters from other places, but more so, I think I had hit that point where I was like, you know, I said it to myself. I was like, I just in my life, for me personally, I just football for me. I just happened to be a real good high school player. And then after that point, I just, you know what I'm saying, I moved on with it. I decided to work at UPS, let it pay for school, graduated debt free. You know what I'm saying? So I decided to go that route. I was like, you know, I'm not going – and I guess I could say maybe I was – at that point I was younger, a little immature, and I didn't want to move too far away. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to just take the easier route. And at that point, I was like, you know, football, after my senior year, I mean, that's just it for me. That's football for me. And then the coaching opportunities opened up. But I didn't know that route. I just – after high school, I was done.
Before we hit the coaching tree and the coaching route that you went to, I think that's very important.
Yes.
What you just said, because truthfully, that happened to me. My senior year, I knew I had offers to NAIA and FBS, and I was like, no, you know, Eastern Illinois, different stuff like that. I knew in my heart that I did what I needed to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And that's nothing wrong with that. I look. Went to UPS, graduated from U of L, all that kind of stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong. I think a lot of these kiddos think that it's either play D1 or bust, and that's not true. It's a lot of different places as far as college football-wise. You can play and be successful, or you can go to school and just be successful, or find out that you need to be successful. You know, don't get caught up, and that's why I think we have a lot of the youngsters these days get caught up in that. And be miserable and be ready to come home so quick. But yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. Cause like I said, I understand that big time. My last game was East West All Star at Butler, and I tell my parents in my last. I had like 19 tackles, and I knew it was gonna be my last game. And you know, put a shot. That's why Butler High School is always good to me.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. It's me, baby. So, Coach, how'd you get into coaching? Let's go there. Let's walk that route.
I do want to just throw out a gem for those people that are out there. So, I believe there's, you know what I'm saying, relationships are seasonal. You know, every relationship has a season. And there was my relationship with football is coaching. But back then, my relationship with football was playing. And so I think that everything that is kept past its season is spoiled. Mm. And everything that is spoiled is toxic. And everything that is toxic is deadly. And so if I would have held on to that relationship of playing when I knew if the season was over, my life might have took, you know what I'm saying, a wrong turn, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't the plan that God had for me at that particular time. And so I think it's real important. Some players, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, go for your dreams, you know what I'm saying? But know when it's time to move to different seasons of your life. You know what I'm saying? I think that sometimes people get so wrapped up in holding on to a season when it's time to let it go.
Hey, Coach, don't be dropping gems like that, man. I mean, hey, in my mind, I'm already thinking, I can't wait to cut this and flip this off. That's definitely going to be. Right, that's definitely going to be.
So, I want to make sure to let players know it's okay, you know what I'm saying?
But it makes sense.
Yes, it does.
It makes sense. And big time. And that was a good one. So how did you get into coaching?
All right, so I was in college, you know what I'm saying, working third shift. I'm going to my classes. My uncle Wayne Johnson, he hit me up because he was the head coach for Johnson's JV team. And so, you know what I'm saying, I started from a middle school JV team, you know what I'm saying, where I'm at now. But he was the head coach for Johnson's JV team. And he was like, he just asked me, said he needed some help. Because, you know, they had some coaching for the varsity Johnson team and everything like that. So, I said, yeah. So I started going to practices and started helping them out, you know, just going there. And then, like, I guess it was like immediately I start, and this is just messing with the JV kids at Johnson, you know what I'm saying? Sixth, seventh graders. I was like, man, coaching's fun. You know what I'm saying? That's when, like, I developed the love for coaching, like, probably my first week of coaching. I was like, oh, okay. I still know football. I still like football. Now I get to help people, you know what I'm saying, learn football. And so I started helping him with just the JV defense, not even the position, not even, you know what I'm saying, the call on the defense. I was just helping out, you know what I'm saying, talking to the kids. And that's when I met
No. Are you serious? Yeah, it is. It is. That's why our long slogan is Raw and Uncut.
Yes.
Coach, hit us back because you dropping too much gem. So hit us back, Coach. Hit us back. He dropped a...
Yeah,
There we go. I wonder if somebody called his phone.
I bet you. Yep.
Because you know that's how
he can always get us.
Let's see. Come on. Let's see. We in the green room so we can see what's going on. I don't see no. Let's see. There we go.
You got me.
We can't be dropping gems and dropping completely out.
I had to switch to my phone. I guess there's something with the computer.
You're good. Go ahead.
All right. So what part did I leave off at?
About your uncle, JV.
Yeah. Okay. So I was coaching JV defense at Johnson. That's when I met the most pivotal person probably in my coaching career, Coach Bryson Johnson.
That's my cousin.
I met him, man, and he taught me so much. He let me take over the linebackers, and that's when I coached the linebackers. I guess the outside safeties too, that you would call, they were all considered linebackers in that particular defense. You know what I'm saying? He taught me from how to install, you know what I'm saying? He taught me as like how to have a relationship with the kids, you know what I'm saying? He taught me different techniques. He taught me, you know what I'm saying? He taught me a whole bunch early in my career at Johnson. And so I had the linebackers that year, and that was under the head coach. I don't know if y'all know, y'all may know him. And some people, a lot of people don't realize how great of a coach he was, but it was under Sean Wimberly. Okay. Sean Wimberly was.
Is that the Sean Wimberly that's like a lawyer now or something?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. He goes to my church.
Okay. He can coach. He can coach some football. Yeah, so I was under him. And then the following year at Johnson, Coach Bryson was the head coach. Because Sean, he went to go be full-time lawyer. And then that's when Coach B let me be defensive coordinator for Johnson. And so that's when, you know what I'm saying, I started to take being more of a leadership role, had to learn how to, you know, install defense, teach defense, be in control of the full defense. So I started there. I moved to the D coordinator right there at Johnson. And that's when Coach B, he was actually the head coach at Johnson, but the D coordinator for Butler's freshman team.
Right.
And so he was splitting a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of times that he couldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? I assumed the role at the time and just, you know what I'm saying, stepped in for him. And then, so that following year, B realized, you know, can't split. So right. He moved. And I just smoothly transitioned it to Johnson's head coach that following year.
Okay.
That year, I think, we think we lost two games. Or we lost maybe three. I think it might have been two games, though. Both games were to Crosby Middle School. And they had a guy on there that was basically Lamar Jackson. He was tough, man. He went to play for Trinity. I think his name was Winton or something like that. But he was tough. He was the only player to beat us, really. That's when I also learned, you know what I'm saying, how to build your staff, how to handle your staff, how to delegate your tasks to the position coaches. Because I called the defense, but I had a coordinator, you know what I'm saying? I gave him, you know, the freedom to really do whatever.
Right.
So that's when I by that time I'm like, okay, I love coaching. Like it may not be my career, but like regardless of what job I get, I got to be able to coach as well. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, it's fun. Like it's really fun, especially at that time. Like middle school still got studs, but I think around that time, like you seen like how great these Manual male team. St. X teams, Ballard teams, how great these been. This is when these kids were in high school.
Right.
So middle school football was loaded. You know what I'm saying? It was exciting. It looked almost like Friday nights on some games. You know what I'm saying?
How fun
it was at that time. So I was the head coach at Johnson that year, you know what I'm saying, doing off-season programs, all that stuff. I'm actually going to school, you know what I'm saying, to talk to the kids, see if the teachers got problems and issues, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I treated it like a full-time job almost, you know what I'm saying? I felt like Marcus Freeman, the coach of Notre Dame, when I got the slide in and the players were all excited, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right into that role. But then that following year, I was going to be the head coach of Johnson again, but I had been working third shift and going to school for so long, and a full-time job opened up at UPS. So I said I wasn't gonna be able to coach this year because the job was second shift, so it wouldn't allow me to coach. But I was saying, screw it, I'm ready to get off third shift. It ain't for me. Like, if I just can't coach, it is what it is. But I'm gonna be able to sleep at night at least from this point on. And so for 1 week, I wasn't coaching. And then this is how I know that God coach. But for that 1 week, I wasn't coaching. Then like that Friday, the boss pulled me in and said, hey, we got a different position. It's first shift. You know what I'm saying? Do you want it? I was like, you know, absolutely. So at that point, I'm calling all the coaches that are on Johnson, you know what I'm saying, that on the staff that we have, like, hey, I'm coming back. But Coach Leland at the time, he had assumed the head coaching responsibility. And I kind of knew that year was going to be my last year in middle school football. I kind of felt it, like, you know what I'm saying, it was TK. Senior, you know what I'm saying? It was,
right.
You know, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, I'm going to move to high school. At first, in the reason I was going to go to Mel when the opportunity opened up. But it was, so I was like, came back. I was like, instead of, you know what I'm saying, arguing and trying to say, hey, Leland, I want my spot. Like, I felt like, you know, I felt like,
give it in.
I felt like it was a good chance to say, you know, this is the perfect time for him to go ahead and start his head coaching job. And I could take on less responsibility. Like, I just got called a defense now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was easy. And so I went back from head coach. I went back to just being the D coordinator. And I think he let me be the head JV coach, too. I can't remember, but it was just a few JV. But that's when I was D coordinator. A great season that year. And I started, like, feeling myself a little bit to the point where, like, toward the end of the year, the defense was so good. We played Farnsley that week in the playoffs, which we ended up losing to them. They had Wan played for them.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, you know what, let me just create a new defense. So I studied the 3-3-5 defense and made it and created it, installed it in 1 week, took it to the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? And we gave up one touchdown, you know what I'm saying? That, they started with the ball on the 1 yard line. So I was like, you know what, man, I could call some defense, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, a defensive coach. And so that was my end of my middle school career. And then transitioning to high school, originally I was going to go to Mel. You know what I'm saying? I had one of my good friends. He used to coach a man coaching more. He's actually working in the NFL, Dalton Ray. He So I went out there for like a little orientation type of thing for the freshman at Mel. And they essentially didn't have like an actual spot open for me. You know what I'm saying? They wanted me to come out there, but they didn't have an actual spot.
Right.
For me. And so I forgot what it was, but that day after I had left, I went to go coach. Me and Coach B did this Humble Beast thing where we players play 7-on-7. You know what I'm saying? We go out there to King Louis where they have those tournaments in the spring. He was like, you know, I told him, man, like they just don't have a spot for me right now, but they want me to come. And Coach G was like, even Coach G said it too. He's like, I don't know, man. If they ain't gonna make no spot for you, you know what I'm saying? You need to go somewhere where somebody got a sure contract for you, you know what I'm saying?
And I told Coach. Hey, that sound like cousin them doing that stuff over at Buck.
And he was like, and they'll understand. If they don't, then you know what I'm saying, they ain't cool. But even Mel understood, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Ray was like, oh yeah, for sure. I feel you, you know what I'm saying? And what was funny was I did that and I said, you know what, I told him I was gonna go Butler, you know what I'm saying? I got for sure spot. And then I forgot, it was a couple weeks after that. Coach Wolf and Coach Kelsey had invited me to have a talk with me, you know what I'm saying? And they had said, hey, we'll make a, you know what I'm saying? I was like, and it sounded real tempting, but I was like, man, I already told Butler that I'm coming, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be that guy that, you know what I'm saying, that goes back on his word, you know what I'm saying, and tell them never mind and then go back to Mel. I was like, you know, I'm going to just go to Butler's, you know what I'm saying? I told him I was coming. That's the type of guy I am. I ain't going, my mama would have been mad at me. She's like, if I asked my mother, I didn't ask that time, but if I asked her, she would have been like, did you tell them people? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
right.
The parents, you know what I'm saying?
And so
I stuck with Butler for 3 years. And at Butler, I was actually all offense. I didn't do anything with Butler defense the whole time I was there. So I started freshman offensive coordinator. I got to coach the receivers a little bit on varsity because they didn't have an actual receiver coach until Durant. Then this following year, I coached the running backs a little bit. Then JV offense. Then the last year at Butler, I coached the varsity running back and helped be with the offense for the most part because he was the offensive coordinator.
Coach, y'all had some ballers though.
My first year at Butler,
that was
most talented in the state. I guarantee you the most talented in the state. They had Eric Jackson,
right.
Tay Tay Holmes, Jordan Watkins came on their team.
Yep.
Frank Powell, Jose Knifley, you know what I'm saying? Ty at corner, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was loaded. They were loaded, you know what I'm saying? Chaz, who was a 3-year starter at quarterback, you know what I'm saying? And Aaron Nance, who was calling the plays, who was really an offensive genius, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was they were loaded.
Right. I was going to say, because I remember those things because, you know, Mel and them was playing. There's different stuff like that. I knew because of with Bryson and everything, I knew that was talent big time. So as you go into your third year, ending your third year, how did that transpire? Did you come back home, let's put it that way.
Okay, so into that third year, I'm actually going to go to Mel then, too. there was a coaching change happening. And, you know, like I told you, Coach B is my dog. And so Aaron Nance had got an opportunity to go to U of L. Yeah. So he took that. And so we didn't know what he was doing. We assumed that he was going to take it. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a perfect job for him. So we assumed he was going to take it. If he took it, Coach B was going to transition to the offensive coordinator. And I would like to say, you know what I'm saying, I was Coach B's right-hand man. I was going to help him with offense. So I told him, like, I was in the middle of talking to somebody in Mel, and I had them basically on hold to seeing what Coach B needed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
and Coach B was waiting on Nance's decision. And I guess he heard about Nance, and Coach B literally called me. And the first soon as I picked up, I said, hello. He said, hey, AP, don't take a job. I need you over here. So at that point, I was like, all right.
I'm about to get on him.
I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, B's my dog. You know what I'm saying? He does so much for him. You know what I'm saying? I ain't want to just dip out on when he gets his head coach, when he gets his offensive coordinator job in 6A football. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, and then the third, after that year, that was a Kobe year, actually. We go into coaching change again, where Coach G actually decides to sit down because his wife and kid in South Carolina. So he goes to be with his family. And that's when Kobe Clark from Mel comes in. That's when I transitioned to Mel. It was basically like a real regimen. I think there was only one coach, maybe two coaches that stayed when Kobe Clark came in. And so it was just something like it was a new season.
Right.
It was kind of a season for me. I've done all I could at Butler. I was ready to prove more to myself, to compete at a little higher level. You know what I'm saying? Go to get to some tough big games. It was just happened to be the perfect time. Head coach changed, coaches, you know what I'm saying, transitioning to other jobs. And I was like, you know, it's time for a new season for me. It was being, you know, TK, Chad, senior year, Noah, senior year. Those kids, you know what I'm saying, I had a Johnson. It was their senior year. I got to be with them, you know what I'm saying, last rodeo. So it just all matched up perfectly. I feel like God really ordained all the timeline correctly.
Right. All right, real quick, I got two things, and I know Mark got some things to ask you. Let me ask you this. So, going back to, you know, last year, state championship game, you actually, I think, what your senior, didn't y'all play for the state then too, right?
Yeah,
what position did you play anyway at Mayo? We didn't ask you that.
My junior, when I actually started liking football again, that's when I moved to linebacker. because I think this whole time I was holding on to a dream, a fantasy that I was a DB or a safety, and I wasn't fast enough, you know what I'm saying? So I got into a position that I actually could be successful, which was inside linebacker. I'll always tell them I played inside linebacker. That's why I played my last 2 years.
Because Giddens is out here talking about, hey, you was the dog, you was the tackler, all that stuff. Commenting on this and so on. I was like, okay, I forgot to ask. So being a player that played for the state championship and being a coach, you know, granted this team has been there before, but still you can relate to the players that, hey, I played for it. How did you use your experience to help for the ones who didn't play? Because there's some people who didn't play, you know, had been on the team, but how did you use that to motivate them or to tell them about what it means to play for it?
The biggest thing I told them, and I actually pulled them group, defensive guys group last year, the Thursday walkthrough before the game or Friday, whichever one we did it, I told them after I played in the state game, I thought of all the stuff that I could have done or should have did. And so I had told them, don't do that to your teammates. I told them, you need to leave every ounce of energy and every perfect play you have done, you need to do. And don't leave. I told them basically, don't leave the field with energy and don't leave the field with the, I should have done or could have done. If that's all on the field, and the result is still not the result that you want, then it is what it is.
Right.
But be at home thinking of what you could have done or should have done or you could have did more after the state game, because then at that point, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's the biggest thing. Like, especially for me, it was my last game, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know when your last game is going to be, so this is your time to leave it all out, to literally fight every ounce that you have in you, because you don't want to feeling after the game, because it's going to hurt. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to have that feeling that, dang, I could have done this. Because it's locked. You know what I'm saying? You feel better when you realize that you did all you could.
Right. All right, Mark. Go on here with some of them questions you've been hitting me with.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Your senior year when y'all went to state on that team, who was the best defensive player on that team?
that's a stud, man. We had...
Hey, I'm gonna go. You can say yourself if you need to, coach. Come on, man.
It ain't even gonna be me, man. It won't even be me. Like I said, I didn't get good until like the guys that I'm about to name. They were good all the way through. I'm gonna give three names. I'm gonna give 1A, 1B, 1C. The first one is Jerry Long. He played DN. He played at Lindsey Wilson. He played at a high level in college, you know what I'm saying? So Jerry Long, he was really on. I think that season he had 16, 17 sacks or something like that. But he was a dog. Jalen Kemp, who's on the coaching staff now at Mel, he was a dog. And he was probably the smartest player I played with, you know what I'm saying? He knew everybody's time, and he always did his time. He went on to play at a high level. When Lindsey Wilson broke the tackle record, I think he had 20 tackles in the game at Lindsey. And then my best friend also, Solomon Logan. And so many people forget about Solomon Logan. Like, this dude was a stud. I had 113 tackles my senior year. He had like 130-something. This was a linebacker who played positions 2 through 5 on the basketball court. You know what I'm saying? That's how well he moved. Bells had some great linebackers, you know what I'm saying? You got your Zach Hall, you got the Malone twins, you know what I'm saying? Not too many people could move like Solomon did, and not too many people was as smart as he was, you know what I'm saying? And so though I would go with those three names. I can't pick out of those three, but those are the top
three. Sounds like a coach. Sound like a coach.
I got one more. I always tell my brother this, and he always passes. He'd be like, brother, just too many, man. It's just too many. Who are your top 5 Bulldogs?
Hey. Good luck. hey, the world is watching.
You can pay. You got to know that I don't know, like, the, you know what I'm saying, the
right.
History.
Yeah.
If I had to go top 5, Michael Bush.
Woo.
Doug Beaumont.
Woo.
Shoot. Montrell Jones.
Mm. People forget about that. Real quick, I'm sorry. Yeah. People, I had his cop real quick, and I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, y'all. But I'm with my brother. I'm with my male Bulldog brother. I'm with my brothers. Montrell Jones is probably one of the most forgotten bowlers. Mm-hmm. Like, dude was ridiculous at Mel.
Crazy.
I don't know why. I had this conversation about last week with the mayor, you know what I'm saying? We're just talking, and I'm like, dude's only, dude was that guy before a lot of guys. But anyway, go ahead, coach. I'm sorry.
I think another forgotten name, I think I'm going to have to go, and it's just from, like, what I've seen, Travis Waters.
Mm-hmm.
Then if I had to go one more, Mel, shoot. That's tough. Just from what I know, I guess I might have to go Sergio.
Ooh, Sergio was special too. See, and that's the thing about it, because we're going to give you a pass because the years that he went.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So, yeah, absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, the crazy thing is that we have several groups on the Facebook, but I don't think it's ran how it should be. Mm-hmm. Not I ain't gonna say ran like it should be. I don't think it's open up like it should be. Because when you do a male football group, say alumni group, there should be thousands and thousands of people in there because that stuff is ridiculous. Like, he named some people that you can't dispute him. Yeah. Like, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to name some people that you can't, like it just continues to grow. And Sergio, people forget how good Sergio is. Hell of a running back.
Tough. And I think, like, I name, and you know what I'm saying, Mike Bush and Montrell, like, those are Mr. Football, you know what I'm saying? Doug Beaumont, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. They
won the war for the best, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, those were studs. And, of course, you, like, even in the recent years, you got some talented people. You got, you know, Benny Anthony's, you know what I'm saying? Like, people like that, and it's just like they studs too, but if I had to go, like, top five, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are Mr. Football winners, you know what I'm saying?
But check that, Coach. Check this out real quick. So, as you just said, being a former male Bulldog, and they didn't speak about these former players and some that you done played with, to these young up-and-coming studs that you actually are coaching or are part of the team coaching, like, how beneficial is that to have these conversations like, hey, you good, but you almost there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be this level. Like, Mel is one of the schools I can say, and well, I am going to say it. Mel's one of these schools that you can say that, hey, bro, you, like, you, this turn the corner, look over here, this dude did this and done that. Like, you can be a part of this history. And this is not no knock on the people who made All-State, the people who made all this. That just lets you know how deep talented Mel is, you know, that kind of stuff like that. So how beneficial is it for you to know that you're a former Bulldog, you played, you know, been around this talent, that you can sit here and talk to a player, hey, man, you can be just like X, Y, and Z.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's important because I think it's important because I wouldn't list, but it's important to say I know what it takes because we've people done. You know, like, yeah, you great tackler, but these guys had 20 tackles. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's important to know what it takes and to let them know that you can have the talent, you can have the skill set, you know, and you can have the IQ, but they got that dog. You know what I'm saying? These guys have that dog. You know what I'm saying? But that's what, and not talking about male, but that's what some kids are missing in today's age of football. People are fast, people are strong, people can throw, people can catch, but you got to have that dog in you. That, and I wish people would, I think that a lot of people should do, I wish they should watch like these small documentaries on Kobe in the Redeem, you know, that one dropped on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at his, don't think just basketball, look at his mentality, the sport itself, on preparation itself. That is dog. That is, right. I'm going against my opponent and kill him every time.
Right. Yep.
So I think, like, there's just lack of dog in some kids that have that talent. And when you can tell the kid, hey, you know what I'm saying, you're good, but you're missing a little dog in you. Without that dog, you can't be great. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
We know what it takes when we look at those guys. They had that dog, you know what I'm saying? And it was hard for me now to think about the list. Now that you got me thinking, you know what I'm saying? I had to leave Redmond.
you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a setup. That's why I didn't fall for it.
Brian Anderson was a hell of a
guy. I got too many.
It's a lot of cats, a lot of cold cats.
But you know what, though? And you hit it because you know when a person got the dog. And thing about it is, the way I see it, like, that dog mentality lasts through your whole life.
Yeah.
When we started this show, you know, we talked and everything, and we rocked and rolled, and coming up with new ideas and things like that. And it's like, hey, now we're going to be what people want to be on. People do awards. Let's do a real awards. Mm-hmm. Making people like, that dog never leaves you at work. You want to do what you have to do at work. Everything, a dog doesn't lose that mentality. You know what I'm saying? Right. It stays in you no matter what. I want to be the best husband. I want to be the best, you know, parishioner. Everything is that dog mentality. And that does not go away. That's life. And a dog. Mm-hmm. And you know that. And so, you know, hey, you don't turn it off and on. You that dog regardless. And you hit it on the head with that. So before we want to get you out because we'll talk to you forever, which we're going to talk to you some more outside of this. But
yeah,
go ahead with that last one, Mark.
All right, this is the time when we give our guest the floor to thank everybody who has been in his life and supporting him through his whole career.
Man, I just want to thank, you know what I'm saying, all my coaches, you know what I'm saying, that mentored me, taught me so much, Coach B, Coach Wim, and, you know what I'm saying, Coach G at Butler and all the coaches at Butler, you know what I'm saying? All the coaches at Mel will forgive me the opportunity. Coach Porter, who's taught me a whole bunch, saying, been at Mel. All the coaches, and I know I missed it. I just don't think if you're a coach on here and I didn't name you, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know what I'm saying? Those are just the first ones that pop in my head, you know what I'm saying? All my friends who supported my coaching career, all my players who've played for me and are playing for me, who they're the reason I love the game, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be able to love the game if I didn't love the kids. Then, you know, my family that supports me. Then special shout out to my wife, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
My coaching takes a lot of time, you know what I'm saying? And she holds it down with my son, you know what I'm saying? So special shout out to her and him for supporting me through this, gone all through the summer stuff. And she still takes care and still comes out to the game. So special shout out to her. That's the biggest shout out I want to give. But shout out to all the people who helped me along the way.
Hey, man, you know what? Always, first of all, always a pleasure to talk to a former Bulldog and a Panther. And, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, you rocked it, man. And I know that Mel will be happy to keep you as long as they can, but I know that it's other stuff that you're going to be able to lead in life. Hopefully it will be, you know, whatever you need it to be in life. You are a national born leader, and hey, man, we definitely will be following you. You know, when you have your own team, don't forget about the Mark and Will show. When you still with Mel, don't forget to buy the Mark and Will show. But brother, hey, I'm proud of you. Keep rocking and rolling, and I'm gonna holler at you Friday, big time. Yes,
love what y'all doing, man. Keep it going.
All right, God bless.
You have a good one.
That's what I'm
saying. That's a way. You start a legacy off.
That's how you do the show.
That's hey, how man. You do hey, it.
Coach Palmer, man. Yes, I appreciate you, bro. You did your thing. Tomorrow, check us out.
Yes, sir.
You know, I had a whole bunch of other stuff. I kind of commit fraud to you guys. I said we were going to do Major League Baseball. Nah, we not. He rocked it. He did what he did.
He rocked.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, man. Good night, man.
Yes, sir.
We holler at y'all.
Be safe.
Good time.
Medicine. Yeah. Let's go.